Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish, how you doing out there, kiddo?
I'm doing great, Todd. I'm on the corner of the Highway 377 and Wall Price. And the reason why I'm here today is because there was a bad accident on Tuesday morning. And it was interesting because I live just blocks away and I heard these helicopters, two of them, newscopters, overhead for about an hour. And I thought, what is going
Something's happening.
Lo and behold, there was a car that had ran the street. It's actually a bad intersection. And a car ran the street and hit a bus, a small bus, and the bus fell over on its side and ended up smashing a small little girl. And five of the construction workers that are working on this corner, they're building an Arby's, ran out one by one. And it's amazing what people that are determined can do in just a matter of seconds. They lifted the bus off of the little girl. And so I came on this corner to get some interviews from these construction workers, and it turns out the dad of the little girl was here today, and I tried to get an interview with him, but he was pretty emotional, and I just thanked him for his time and, you know, gave him the website and things. And then all the other construction workers don't speak English.
Perfect.
Go figure, but check this out. I guess who I did find, this gentleman.
The bus driver.
No. This is somebody that's not even related to the incident, but I still am here on this corner, and it's a young guy that was washing his car. His name is Will, and he's a Mormon, and he's willing to talk about spiritual things. He says he's not really practicing, but he's like, yeah, that sounds fine.
So, Trish, let me talk to this guy because I want to try this new little Adam idea that I've got and see if I've stumbled onto something, okay?
Okay, I'm walking over to Will.
All righty.
Seems like a really neat guy. Okay, Will, you're live on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Will. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Tell me how old you are.
I am 21.
Will, I want to share a Bible story with you, a short one, so don't panic, okay?
All right.
And then I want to ask you what you think of it. Here's the story. You remember, because you grew up a Mormon, correct?
Actually, I was converted. I didn't really go to church too much before then. And then I went to church with a friend. It was a Mormon church, and I just so happened to kind of get into it and converted.
Okay. So have you heard the story about Adam and Eve in the garden?
Yes.
Okay. Then you remember that God said you can do anything you want. You can eat from any tree that you want to, but don't eat from that tree right there. Right? That was God's way of making sure that they were faithful to him and were showing their obedience to him. All right?
Uh-huh.
So that they weren't robots in the garden. And what did they do when the serpent came along? They ate of the fruit, right?
Yes, they did.
Remember that deal? And they fell into sin. And God went looking for them, and he found them. Do you remember what Adam said to God?
I don't.
He said, "The woman you gave to me, she caused me to eat that fruit." He was passing the buck. He was blaming God for his problems, and she blamed the serpent. In other words, they weren't taking responsibility for their own actions.
Exactly.
Right? Now, here's my question for you, Will. What do you think about the person who's not willing to accept responsibility for their own wrongdoing? Is that a good quality or a bad one?
It's a pretty bad quality, actually.
All right.
I wouldn't say it was a good one.
All right. Now, here's what I would like to do next, Will, with your permission, is I want to see if you have that good quality or if you have that bad quality.
Okay.
All right? And I want to do that by asking you if you have kept the Ten Commandments.
I can't honestly say that I have.
All right. So have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
I'm pretty sure I have at one point.
Okay. That's blasphemy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Has God always been first in your life?
I can't say that he has always been first.
Okay, because that's the first commandment. He just demands our affection for everything. Did you always honor and obey your parents?
Not always.
All right.
So I tried, but not always.
All right. So you violated the fifth commandment: honor your father and mother. All right. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
How come?
Just because I'm not married.
Okay, but Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you committed adultery?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible says that if you're angry with somebody, unjustly angry, you flip them off, you say something nasty to them, you're a murderer at heart. Are you a murderer at heart?
Yes.
All righty. Okay, so we've just made our way through 5, 6, 7. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Okay, so that would make you a liar, correct?
Yes, it would.
All right. Ever stolen something?
I'm sure I have, not recently, but probably just something that I didn't really think of at the time when I was doing it.
All right. So, Will, do you accept full responsibility for the laws that you've broken?
I do.
Do you blame anybody for it?
No.
All right. So you die. You stand before God. He knows all the laws that you've broken. What are you going to say to him?
That it was all my fault. It was all my choices. You know, we all have a freedom of choice, and I just made the wrong choices.
And exercise that free will. Okay. So what do you think God should do with you? Should he take you to heaven or send you to hell?
I think just for the honesty part, maybe, you know, I'm not really sure how things would go as far as, you know, being judged. But, I mean, I would hope you would have some kind of mercy. But, you know, I wouldn't know.
All right. Well, actually, of course we can't know God's thoughts, but we can know what he says in the Bible, and that is all liars will have their part in a lake of fire, all adulterers, thieves, blasphemers. So if God is just and he does what is right, should you go to heaven or to hell?
To hell.
All right. You said you're 21, right?
Yes.
Yeah. 21 years old. You know that there was a bad accident right where you're standing, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and a little girl apparently is really dinged up. What if that had been you and you died? You'd be going to hell.
Yes.
Dude, there's a scary thought for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That give you pause?
I mean, it's not the best feeling. I mean, it's definitely probably one of the worst. But, you know, still got a long life to live, and hopefully, you know, I'll be making the right choices, you know, as much as I can, as opposed to... you know, staying on the wrong path.
Well, that's honorable, but here's your problem, though, Will. Let's say that we hang up the phone and you are now perfect for the rest of your life, which is probably not real likely. No offense, but it's probably not real likely.
Yeah, it's hard to stay like that. Yeah.
But you've still got 21 years of crimes that you've committed against God. So he still has to deal with those. He still would have to punish you for those times that you've broken his laws, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Will, this is so important. And I know that I'm not a Mormon. I'm not encouraging you to go back to the Mormon church at all. All right? Because they teach something a little bit different than what I think the Bible says. They teach that Jesus is a created being and that he's the brother of the devil. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches, and here's why. Because the Bible says God must punish Will and me and all lawbreakers. And it's because he is so holy and righteous and just and so good, he can't have sin with him. But to show his kindness, he sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to be the pleasing sacrifice, to be brutally beaten, hung on a cross, to shed his blood, to die in our place for the forgiveness of our sins, rising from the dead, defeating death, so that, Will, your crimes against God can be paid for. That's what I think the Bible teaches. So the bad news is, Will, you're going to hell if you died right now. The good news is God will rescue you if you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
There you go. That should be a thought that I hope would command your attention today.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Will, this is so important. You're old enough to get this now. I don't know what happened with your Mormon experience or not. I'm not from a denomination. I don't want your money. I doubt that I'm ever going to see you again, Will. I'm just telling you, I know what the Bible says. And God is angry at sin. And he will have his day in court. And every day that goes by when crimes don't get solved and people get away with murder, they are not going to get away with it. There is going to be a day of reckoning, and there will be one for you too. And he is going to find out every secret sin that you've ever committed. And if he gives you what you deserve, dude, you are in for such a thrashing. The Bible says he's going to tear you to pieces because he's angry about sin. And your conscience knows it. But he's kind and he's good and he will save you. But you must repent, which means to agree with him that you're a sinner. You must turn from your sins, forsake your sins, apologize for your sins, put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says you will pass from death to life, and he'll make you a new creature, and he will save you and take you to heaven, not because you're a good person, but because you're a very bad person who's been forgiven by a good God. And Will, I've been preaching at you, but listen, I'm not trying to scare you into this. You should be afraid of hell, but turn to the Savior because he's been so kind to save you from hell. Okay? Does that make sense? Dude, you're a young man. Today, please think about your sins. Think about Jesus on a cross. Man, and let it break your heart and get on your face before God and apologize and put your trust in Jesus. And then get up and grab yourself a Bible and read it and do what it says. All right, man?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm glad we chatted, dude.
So am I. Thank you.
Bye. Praying for Will, right?
This is Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts here. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Without sounding too much like a mafia don, here's an offer you can't refuse. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And Other Intriguing Questions on the Road Trip to Truth. You heard me right. We want to give you these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But there are two strings attached. Well, really tiny strings, more like fishing line. Actually, thread would be better. You pay for shipping only, and you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. Go to wretched.org/purple today and get your copies of What Time is Purple? It's also a great idea for the student in your life who's heading off to school or anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. Get your copies of What Time is Purple at wretched.org/purple. And thanks very much to the generosity of our gospel partners who make this giveaway possible.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To the streets we go. Trish, you're at the scene of the crime, correct?
Yes, I am. For those that weren't listening to the first segment, there was a terrible accident on the corner of a major highway, and apparently a car ran a stop and hit a bus, turning it over on its side. And the bus, unfortunately, I'm not sure how many kids were in the bus, maybe about 7 kids, and one little girl actually had the bus on top of her. The bus smashed her. And I'm actually with Matt, who works at a Valvoline oil station, just right next door to where the accident scene happened. And he was one of the guys that helped to lift the bus. And it's so amazing in a situation like that. The adrenaline kicks in, and it's amazing what the physical body can do.
They lifted a bus off the car so the kid could get out. All right, Trish, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to eavesdrop on your conversation.
That sounds good.
All right, so you know what to do with
Matt's
the phone.
Matt's really a neat guy. I want him to share a little bit more about actually what happened, what he was feeling. How did he get there? Because he's not the exact one on the location. So, Matt, real quick, share a little bit about what happened when that accident took place.
Okay, I was actually talking to my buddy here, and we heard the boom on the corner. And, I mean, it's about 300 yards away. And I just turned to see the bus in midair. It was turning, and I thought it was 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, I got little brothers and sisters myself, and it just kind of startled me because I knew that there's kids on the bus. And I just took off sprinting. I mean, I was running through traffic. And when I got there, all I could see is that poor little girl underneath that bus. I mean, she was trapped from her waist down. It was underneath the bus, and there was one of the construction workers was sitting there by her. He looked like he wanted to lift the bus. And naturally, I just ran up there. I just put my hand on it. He called for his crew. And I felt the bus come up about a foot. He started pulling on her. And it just so happened so quick that we just lifted the bus and uprighted it again, put it back up on its wheels within 30 seconds of being knocked over.
Let me ask you, Matt, how old was the little girl?
Her name was Emily. She was 5 years old, and she went to Primrose Skirt School. And
I don't know if you heard this, but the good news is that she is in stable condition. But what a terrible thing! And that's such a noble thing that you did, that you ran over there. What was going through your mind when you heard the boom? Did you actually see the accident?
I didn't see the accident itself. All I saw from here was, I mean, it was a good ways away. I just saw the corner, the back end of the bus just up in the air turning. And I didn't even wait for it to hit the ground. I was running. I mean, but when we did get it back up, we tried to open the back door, but that wouldn't work because the bus, it was just actually pushed together. Once we did get the back door open, I personally pulled about two or three kids out, pulled them over to the side, and the driver of the bus who was still in, you know, all these kids were still on the bus when we uprighted it. She tried to step out. She was complaining about her ankle. She landed in the middle of the highway, and me and another gentleman took her off to the side. I mean, I just kind of turned around. Cops got there, and I went back to work.
Well, I appreciate you talking about this, you know, live on the radio. I really do appreciate it, and that's a noble feat, what you did. You passed the physical test. Do you mind, right now, live on the air, taking a spiritual test? Would you mind?
I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind at all. Okay. Let me ask you a couple quick questions and just answer them. First thing that comes to your head. First one, have you ever told a lie at any time, Matt?
Yes.
Okay. What about this one? Have you ever dishonored your parents at any time?
I wouldn't believe I have.
Let me rephrase it. I'll give you that one, but let's rephrase it. Has there ever been a time that maybe you told your parents you were going to be home at a certain time and you lied or you didn't come home?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I don't think it's really so much about me. I mean, it was about getting that little girl, you know. That was the biggest thing, in my opinion.
That's right. Right. Well, now we're going to switch gears a little bit. Is that okay? Do you mind if we do? So we're going to switch gears off the scene. Okay. Now we're in the scene inside the Valvoline oil change station, and we're going to focus on you. If that was you that day, okay. We're going to get back to that. But let's just finish asking these quick questions. Okay. So back to the test, the spiritual test, because you passed the physical one. How about this one? Have you ever stolen anything? Value is irrelevant, Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you for being honest. Have you ever taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain or blasphemed the name of God?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And that's pretty serious in God's sight because, you know, God says that he won't hold him guiltless who takes the name of him in vain. That's pretty serious. How about this one? I'll ask you one last question, okay? Because you're failing. You're getting an F. You're failing. Okay, but let me ask you this last serious question. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
Yeah, why is that?
It's wrong. No.
Okay, so you're not married, but guess what? Check this out. Jesus in the New Testament makes it clear in the Old Testament what he means by thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus says in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, if you've even looked upon a person to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. What do you think about that?
That's so wrong, yeah. I mean, that's something I'm going to think about for a while.
Because the point is that you did an amazing, amazing thing, and I thank you for doing that for the community and for that little girl and helping out. That's just so neat. But here's the thing. If that was you, Matt, if that would have been you trapped under that bus, you don't know when you're going to die. Tonight could be your last night. God forbid that today, you don't know when you're going to die, right?
Right. That's absolutely right.
Listen, here's the thing. If you were to die tonight and meet God, okay, and he were to judge you by those things and give you the spiritual test, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You pass the physical one. But if he were to give you the spiritual test, where would you go based on those things if he were to judge you by the Ten Commandments? Because what I did was just giving you the Ten Commandments. And guess what? By your own admission, you were a lying, thieving, adulterer, blasphemer, disobedient to your parents. You admitted that. Where would you go?
I guess the correct answer would be to hell. I mean, that's judging by the commandments. Yeah, I mean, that's what it boiled down to.
Had you heard the commandments before, Matt? Because we didn't talk about anything that was, like, spiritual.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I would have to be briefed. I couldn't recite them, but, yes, I have heard them before.
So, Matt, do you know, does that concern you? I mean, does it concern you to think about that, that if that would have been you on that corner, and you weren't right with God and in your sins, you know, and all those things that you've done wrong, because we've all done wrong things, that you would go to hell? Does it concern you?
Yeah, it does concern me. I mean, that's asking a lot. I mean, it does take a strong believing.
What would you have to do in order to get to heaven? Because here's the thing, Matt, I would never want to see you be the one to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I'm standing here and I'll never probably see you again. I didn't plan this interview with you.
Right.
I didn't plan it, but do you know what God did so that you would not have to go to hell? Because there is a way of escape. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, and he paid the fine that you would have had to pay yourself. But if you repent and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, okay, you can be saved. You can be saved. You've got to repent of your sins. Do you know what that means, to repent, Matt?
No.
Just check this out. Listen, it doesn't matter how many little girls you've saved, though that's a noble thing. It doesn't matter if you've walked a million old ladies across the street or went to church every day. None of those things are going to get you to heaven. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
None of those things. So basically, in other words, good works are not going to save you. Guess what saves you?
What's that?
Believing upon Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins. If you know, Matt, that there's things that you're doing that are not pleasing to God, and let's say you don't know, guess how you can know? You read the Bible. Do you own a Bible?
My family does. I do not, personally.
I'm going to get you a Bible, okay? I'm going to give you a Bible, okay, before today's over. I'm going to come back and give you one. But, Matt, here's the thing, is that repenting of your sins means that you turn 180 degrees away from the lifestyle where you were living. Let's say maybe you're fornicating, you're having sex outside of marriage, or let's say you're smoking dope. I'm just coming up with anything. You've never admitted any of these things. You get rid of those things. You put them off, and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ like you'd put on a parachute. If you knew that a plane was going to crash, and I gave you a parachute, and I said, hey, Matt, plane's going down. Put this parachute on. You'd say, absolutely. I'm going to put it on because I know the plane's going to crash.
Right.
Well, guess what? This world is that plane. This world is going downhill, and your world, Matt, is going to crash one day, just like that bus crash. You are going to die. You don't know when. But the good news is that God provided a way of escape. So all those things that you've done, all your lying, all your lusting, all the thieving, God provided a way for you to be forgiven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's very strong. I mean, I guess I never really thought about it like that before. I mean, I just figured I was more of the right person, at the right place at the right time in that situation. I really didn't turn to think of it as an act of God or anything like that. But I mean, other people have also said, you know, that was an act, and, you know, there was a reason I was there.
I definitely think that God used you and those other men as a tool to help save that little girl. And more importantly, and more importantly, to bring me here to talk to you about the good news. Because, Matt, I don't want you to die in your sins at all. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am, it does, and I appreciate that very much.
Todd, do you have anything that you'd like to say to Matt real quick?
No, Matt, you sound like a nice guy. We'll be praying for you, all right, dude? I don't know if he can hear me or not. That was Trish witnessing to Matt. I know they'll continue their conversation there. Was he getting too emotional to speak? Did I misunderstand that, or did I pray for him? Would you please?
This is Wretched Radio. Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Aaron the actor.
Oh, Todd the host.
What's going on?
Not much. I'm still here at USC, and I got a girl. Her name is Joy. She works with Greenpeace.
Oh, good.
And she's kind of an agnostic postmodern. And then I asked if she has a religious background, and she said that her mom took her to like Baptist church, Presbyterian church, and then she stopped going to church when her favorite church chopped down her favorite forest.
Oh, I can understand. Ray, this is perfect, though. You can tell her that there's a bunch of evangelicals who signed on to make sure that we protect the planet, and tell her to come to Jesus because Jesus was an environmentalist. This is a perfect opportunity for you to bend the gospel.
Yes, Jesus died on a tree, according to Scripture, in certain places, so this might work in really well.
All righty, let's do it, Aaron. Let's have a chat with Joy, the Greenpeacer, and Ray Comfort.
Joy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. My name's Ray. I understand you like trees.
I love trees. I love hugging them, too.
You hug them? What about, how committed are you to saving trees?
I love trees. I work with Greenpeace, and I also work for another environmental organization, Global Green.
So you're committed to trees and to hugging them. I've got a question for you, because it's just, it's bothered me for years. Where are you guys when there's these big forest fires? Why aren't you
during
tying yourself?
Fires?
Yeah, why aren't you tying yourself to the trees and just going down with a ship?
In the forest.
Where's your commitment?
That would be of no use.
Hundreds of thousands of trees. Going up and smoking, you just stand back and watch it. Get in there. Hug those trees.
Well, forest fires generally, like in places like California, it's a natural process of just regenerating the landscape.
What say I lit the match?
You lit the match, then you're going to jail.
Okay, so what say God lights the match by sending lightning, which is a lot of those forest fires come by lightning, and God's in control of the electricity department.
It's true.
Yeah. So do you have a belief in God, Joy?
I believe there is a God, yes. I don't follow any established religion or anything like that. I think you can pick and choose from different religions, the positive aspects of each, and follow
like a
those.
Buffet. I like buffets too. You just go, and pick and choose, and you get a big plate full of what you like. And you know what that's called when you do that?
Agnostic or something like that.
No, it's actually called idolatry. Where you shape a god to suit yourself. You say, I think God's like this, and you shape God to fit your image of what you think he should be like, so you feel comfortable with him. I felt like that before I was a Christian. I shaped a God that I used to pray to every night, and my God just had no real sense of right and wrong. Actually, he didn't exist. He was a figment of the imagination. Do you believe in the theory of evolution, survival of the fittest?
Survival of the fittest, maybe. I believe in evolution. Survival of the fittest has some problems.
Where's the problem with survival of the fittest?
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there are some faults in Darwin's theory of evolution.
I'll tell you where I can see a fault. I think a man with an axe is fitter than a tree with a trunk. He's going to come out on top every time. And if he wants to chop down trees because he's fitter, well, he's going to go ahead and do it. Survival of the fittest. And it's the whole evolutionary thing. Get rid of the trees and Mother Nature will figure out some other way to give us some oxygen, I guess. But no, yeah. I don't believe in evolution. I believe that God created man in his own image and that every animal brings forth after its own kind. Sheep don't have dogs, cats don't have cows, and people bring forth people, and we're made in God's image. Don't you believe that?
I believe that people have these reproductive processes that bring forth more people, just like every other species.
So we all stay within our species, and we don't evolve into different species. There's no transitional forms.
There is. I mean, we can see it in different races. We see it in...
No, that's all in the same human species.
But
That's microevolution where, you know, if you live near the equator, you're going to get a darker skin over, you know, a couple of thousand years or whatever, I guess. But we're all within the same species.
So you believe in microevolution?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen a tadpole go into a frog in 6 weeks. There's a big change. Big change.
You don't believe in macroevolution?
No, I can't see any evidence of it. Could you give me some?
Well, like bonobo monkeys, we have 99.7% of their same DNA. Don't you think there's some sort of connection there?
Yeah, but I think we're very close to pigs, too. If you need a skin graft, they're going to use pig skin because it's closer than any other skin. And I've got friends that eat like pigs. They snore like pigs. And there's a lot of homology structures. They've got ears, they've got liver, lungs, kidneys, teeth, eyes, you know, nose, mouth. So we're mm-hmm. pretty similar to pigs. So we mm-hmm. could have evolved from pigs if you want to have a theory, if you want to go somewhere with that. Listen, what do you think happens after someone dies, Joy? Where do they go?
I am actually in belief that reincarnation does exist.
So what were you before this life?
I was another caring being, I would think. I don't know if I was human. Might have been in some other form.
So you must have done something.
I did good things. So
you must have done something pretty good to come back as Joy. Look what you've got now. So you must have been pretty good in the last life. Now, who's dealing out these bodies? Who's given this reward system? Where's this justice reincarnation God?
Well, I believe that there are a limited amount of souls, just like there's a limited amount of resources on our
Who's
Earth.
Putting the limit on them? Is it God that's doing the limiting?
I mean, I believe that as the universe is expanding, everything is expanding with that.
Including souls? Are our souls getting bigger, or is they getting more of them?
Possibly bigger, possibly dividing, like cells divide, that sort of thing. If you do bad things, maybe your soul's divided into all these other...
So is God doing the dividing? He sees someone rape a woman, or he sees someone commit adultery, and then God does the dealing out of the bad bodies to the person that's coming in the next life. Is that what you're saying?
I believe in karma. I believe that if you do a bad deed, it's going to come back on you.
Okay, well, how are you doing in life? Are you a good person?
What did you say?
Are you a good person?
I have faults, just like everyone, but I believe generally I try to be a good person.
Okay, if there's joy, if there's a heaven, do you think you're going to go there?
A heaven?
Yeah, if there's a heaven.
If there is one, I believe I would. I'm doing good things for the planet and people. And.
Well, let's do a heaven test. Let's go through a few questions and see if you're going to go to heaven. There's a criteria.
Okay.
Joy, have you ever told a lie?
I've told a lie.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
I've stolen things, yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
I mean, generally, if you want to label people, you call them a stealer or a felon or whatever.
A thief.
But
a thief.
Thief, yeah.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's called blasphemy. It's very serious. It's taking God's name and using it as a cuss word. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay, listen to this, Joy. This is interesting. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. Now, if he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I mean, these are things that are written down in a book. How do I know God actually says that we can redeem ourselves by doing good things? We learn by our faults and that sort of thing. But, I mean, if you want to label me in terms of what the Bible says is good or bad, and if I don't say I take Jesus as my Savior, then I'm not going to redeem myself.
No, I didn't say that. Here's the question again. If God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I mean...
if I've ever done one of those things once, then I would be guilty. But if I've done 1,000 other things too, you know, that are in adverse to that, then I guess I would still be guilty if I haven't, even if I've done all those other things to redeem
myself. That's right. That's exactly true. So would you therefore go to heaven or hell?
I guess I would go to hell because I've done all these bad things, but I've done, you know, 1,000 times more good things.
Yeah, but you think, Joy, just think for a minute, because you're bringing up a very important point. If a criminal stands before a judge and has committed a terribly serious crime, and the judge says you're guilty, and he says, yeah, judge, I'm guilty, all the evidence is in, you're right, I'm guilty, but I want to tell you about all the good things that I've done. I've done lots and lots of good things. The judge is going to say, that's irrelevant. You've violated the law and you must be punished. Doesn't matter if you belong to Red Cross and you do this and do that and help old ladies across the road. Totally irrelevant. Good deeds don't wash away civil crimes, and good works cannot wash away crimes against God's law. The Bible says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, no blasphemer will inherit the kingdom of God. So does it concern you that if you died today and you stood before God and he judged you by those Ten Commandments, you'd end up in hell for eternity? Does it concern you?
I've never killed a person. I've
Joy.
Never done anything to really harm a life.
Joy, you've sinned against God. You've admitted to lying and stealing and blasphemy and committing adultery in your heart. These are very serious crimes, and we haven't even looked at the other six of the Ten Commandments. And a criminal might say, Judge, I know I raped that woman, but I didn't murder her. It's irrelevant. So what we do outside of the crime is totally irrelevant. It's the crime that God must punish. And God is holy and perfect. He's righteous. He's seen your thought life. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. Joy, you've got to be concerned. Something in you says, I don't want to die. And something even deeper within you says, I don't want to go to hell for eternity. That's common sense. It's your will to live. So soften your heart. Listen to the voice of your conscience. Think of those secret sins you've done when no one was looking. God has seen them. The eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So please, be concerned for your salvation. Be concerned for your eternal salvation. Sounds like you've had some sort of Christian background. You know that Jesus died for your sins. Well, don't ask him into your heart. Repent and trust in him. Give him your whole life, like you do when you get married. You give your will to the person you're marrying to. You don't just give him part of your life. You say, no other person. You're the only one. You've got to do that with God. Thanks for joining us, Joy.
Okay. You have a good day.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. May I be so bold and ask for your support for our prison initiative. When you look at the numbers of people in prison who are released and then end up back in prison, those rates are just too high. Here at Wretched, we think the gospel would help those numbers. To do that, our prison initiative. We share the gospel by getting our gospel booklets for free to prison ministries. Booklets like Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time is Purple. They, in turn, get them to the prisoners. We need your support to get these resources for free to the prison ministries. For details on joining us, go to wretched.org/prison. Wretched.org/prison. The more you're able to give, the more we're able to give away. Wretched.org/prison to help. If you're a prison ministry interested in our resources, contact Jen, J-E-N, at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
On behalf of everyone here at Wretched, let me thank you. thank you for your ongoing generous support of Wretched. While the love of money most certainly is the root of all kinds of evil, it is nevertheless needed to pay the bills. And we are grateful that you've allowed Wretched to pay our bills for over a decade now. We don't take your support for granted. We're reaching more people than ever, and without being greedy, we want to reach even more. If you've never supported Wretched and you have the means, we would be grateful if you would prayerfully consider joining our gospel partners with your monthly tax-deductible support. Wretched.org/donate has all the details. Together, we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. Visit wretched.org/donate today. Wretched.org/donate.
Mexican. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish.
Todd.
All right, so where are you today?
Hey, check this out. I'm with a young guy, 16 years old. His name is Man Hall. He's very articulate, nice young gentleman. He is a Muslim, born in Palestine, and but practically raised here all of his life. And he plays basketball for a local high school out here, and just a neat guy. Excited to be on the air.
Is he a practicing Muslim?
Yeah, he sure is. I asked him just a minute ago. I said, "Man, talk to me about bowing down to Mecca. Like, do you do the whole thing? Do you pray five times a day?" He said, "Yeah, absolutely." I said, "But what about when you're out on the court playing ball? When you're playing basketball, how do you do that? Do you just kind of get down in the middle of the court and bow down to Mecca, make sure you're positional? You know, how does that work?" And he says, "Well, you just kind of don't. Then you make it up later. You just pray later." So. All yeah, right. he's definitely willing to talk.
All righty, let's have at it, taking the theology and applying it.
Hello?
Hello, Manhole. Thanks for joining us on the radio.
No problem.
Manhole, tell me a little bit about Islam. You bow down to Mecca, what, five times a day?
Yes, sir, five times a day.
Why do you do that?
It's basically about thanking God for your life, for what you have in life, and what you want from life. When you pray, you're practically talking to God. You're asking him about stuff that you want, stuff that you need.
So when you bow down, why do you do it five times a day, and why do you have to face Mecca?
Mecca is when they first started it. It was like they were bowing towards Mecca.
Okay.
And that's how it basically started, and then ever since, everybody's been bowing down towards Mecca and all that.
So, Manhole, does God hear everybody's prayer? If I don't bow down to Mecca, okay, I face Los Angeles, and I just once a day... just ask God, I thank God for life, I thank him for everything he's done for me, and I ask him for something. Does God hear my prayer?
He will hear you pray. He hears everybody pray. He knows what everybody's doing, at what time. He's basically seeing everybody, the whole world, all at once.
So why on earth do I have to bow down to Mecca five times to thank God and ask him for things when just once a day I can look toward the heavens like Jesus did and talk to God?
I mean, every religion has its own priorities. Like, every religion has their own way of praying to God, praying to Jesus, or praying to whoever you were praying for. But our God is Allah, and that's how we pray for him. We pray five times a day. That's how.
So it's just tradition. So it's just a tradition that Muslims do.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Manhole, can I ask you a question? I'm another guy.
Okay, sir.
Hey, you just said something I'm kind of intrigued by. Your God is Allah.
Allah, yes, sir.
Yes. If I have a different God, does that God exist? Is that okay in your world?
I mean, I can't answer that on my own. That's... I don't know how to explain this. I mean, every religion has his own God. You understand what I'm saying?
Not yet.
Our God is Allah, like I mentioned earlier. Your God may be Jesus. Some other God may be Buddha. I mean, everybody has their own God and their own way of praying to their own God. I mean, I can't necessarily say if your God is right or wrong, because you might think my God is right or wrong, and I can't say that.
Why not?
Because
you don't think you're right?
I'm sorry, what now?
Don't you think you're right?
I can't say I'm right or wrong. I mean,
why not?
Because it's not my opinion, and it's not my facts
actually because you're a postmodern. But okay, one last question, and I'll turn it back to Ray. Why don't you pray toward the holy city of Jerusalem?
I honestly don't know that answer.
All right, just curious.
To be honest.
All right, carry on, Ray.
Manhole, when you die, are you going to go to heaven?
Hopefully, yes.
Why?
So far, I've been doing everything that I've been taught, praying 5 times a day. You know how Muslims are not supposed to eat pork, not supposed to drink.
Oh, so the praying for 5 times a day just isn't Thanksgiving. It's just not asking for things. It's actually scoring points with God. Is that what you're saying? If you do these things, it pleases him, and then you might...
If you do what you've been taught and what the traditions are and what the Islam religion asks for you to do and what not to do, and hopefully God will consider that and take you to heaven. But, I mean, if you drink, eat pork, we're not supposed to do that. So, I mean, so far, so good. I'm okay so far, hopefully. So I haven't done any of that stuff. So
you haven't eaten pork?
No, sir.
Okay. So is there a chance that you could end up in hell?
I'm sorry, what now?
Is there a chance that you could end up in hell?
I mean, there's a really big chance. I mean, not a big chance, but I mean, I don't know what is everything about Islam yet. So I don't know what I have done wrong and right about the stuff that I don't know about Islam. But so far, I've been doing everything about Islam that I'm supposed to, and so far I'm so good, and hopefully I'll go to heaven.
But there's a chance still that you could end up in hell. You might be doing something wrong that you don't know about.
There, I could be when I don't know about. So, I mean, I can't answer that question either for you. So
let me see if I can help you with that. You know Moses' law, the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you think you've kept those commandments?
I'm sorry?
Do you think you've kept those commandments?
I've kept his commandments.
You shall not kill, etc. You know those commandments?
Yeah.
What we'll do is we'll go through a few of them and see if you're going to make it to heaven. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever lied?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar, and he goes to hell. But I lie for the good, not for the bad.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes, sir, I have.
That's called theft, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Have you stolen for the good and not for the bad, like you lie?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. It's very serious.
And yes.
The prophet Jesus said this, "Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I haven't.
So you have. So listen to this, and you did it for good, no doubt. Listen to this. In God's sight, you're a lying, this is a self-admitted, lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. We've only looked at 4 of the 10 commandments. And you're going to face God on Judgment Day.
And I guess I never really thought about it that way, but...
Man, hell, how are you going to get your sins forgiven? How are you going to escape hell? Because the Bible warns all liars of their part in the lake of fire. And you can have a criminal standing in a courtroom as a murderous rapist, and he says, "Judge, I polished your car on the way in. I'm bearing down to you 5 times, you know, every time I come to the court. I'm doing the stuff. Please, please forgive me." The judge isn't going to forgive you because of what you do, because you've violated his law, the law that
he
represents. So God will not forgive you because of your what's called works of righteousness. You cannot bribe Almighty God, no matter what you do.
You're right.
So how are your sins going to be forgiven?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Well, you live in America. Remember what we celebrate at Christmas and at Easter?
Yes, sir.
Unto us this day a Savior was born. He shall save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came to this earth. as the Savior. Mm-hmm. And at Easter, we celebrate his death and resurrection. He took the punishment for our sins upon his own body. God became a human being. The Bible says, a body you have made for me. And God filled that body as a hand fills a glove. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He was Almighty God in human form, a perfect, sinless man who came to give his life as a sacrifice to make atonement for humanity, to justify us or make us clean in the sight of God on the day of judgment. His blood was shed so you could be forgiven. And then he rose from the dead, defeated the power of the grave. And man, what you must do to receive forgiveness of sins is just repent. Say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Be truly sorry for that lust that so burns within your breast, for the lying and the stealing.
The Bible says, you're very right, sir, actually.
And you've got to repent and then trust in Jesus alone. Don't trust in your own self-righteousness. Just trust in him alone. Do you have a Bible?
Actually, no, I have the Quran. That's the...
Well, Trish is there to talk to you further. Please consider this, because no religion can save you from the wrath of Almighty God. The only one that can save you is the mercy of God in Christ, and his mercy is no other place but in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he alone can save you. And the only way to be saved is through putting your faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ. So
you're right.
Give it some serious thought, Todd.
Hey, Manhol, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What that fellow just said is radically different than what you're presently doing. Do you understand its implications?
What do you mean by implications?
If what this fellow is saying is true, you have to abandon your works and Islam and put your trust in Jesus Christ, in Isa, and him alone for your salvation. Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right, you got something to ponder today, don't you, young man? Otherwise, you don't have your sins forgiven. Dude, I'm grateful that you talked to us, okay?
No problem. Thank you.
Bye. Because there is no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. Are you a Muslim and you're listening? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? The name is Jesus. Until next time, go serve your king.